We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 1037 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question. That's your phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Our website is bibleforToday.org, where you can hear 24/7 preaching verse by verse from Romans through Revelation by your speaker. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible, now in its 10th printing, now on the bookshelves and in the bookstores. Give us a call, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And by the way, this whole series of broadcasts, we're giving away this book free and postage paid, $12 plus $4 shipping, $16 value. Just simply call us or ask for it, and we'll give it to you free and postage paid during this time when we're talking about defending the King James Bible. Then, do you have a copy of our defined King James Bible, published by the Bible for Today? Uncommon words of the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, 12-point large print, 10-point medium print, not another Bible in the world like it. Get your friends to get one for yourself, the defined King James Bible. Give us a call at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. All right, we're continuing our discussion and reading and talking about this book that I've written way back in 1992, Defending the King James Bible, A Fourfold Superiority, Texts, Translators, Technique, Theology, God's Words Kept Intact in English. It's our 10th printing, 2nd edition, and we're on page number 13. We're talking about Bible preservation. We believe that God promised to preserve His words, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. And we have scriptures that we've been talking about to show this very clearly, and we're on scripture number 13 out of 15 that shows the preservation promised by the Lord of His words. Not simply His word, which the fundamentalist brethren seem to say simply is not the same as words. They said they believe in the promised preservation of the word of God, but not the words of God. And it's important that we note the words of God have been promised to be preserved, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. Our fundamentalist brethren, like Bob Jones University and Detroit Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary, Maranatha Baptist Bible College, and so on, Northland Baptist Bible College, and so on, some of the others, and out there in the Intercontinental Interstate Baptist College, whatever it's called out there in Tempe, Arizona, all these fundamentalist churches and schools and institutions that follow them say, we don't mean word of God, words of God, and word of God. They're the same. We've changed the word of God. The word, just simply for them, means only the message of God, the thoughts, the ideas, the general principles, but not the words. They deny. Fundamentalist Bible-believing brethren in Christ, saved people, are in the process right now, in the day in which we live now, are denying the preservation of the words of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek that God has given to us. They simply say the message, the overall picture. My friend, we need more than the overall picture, the message, thoughts, ideas, and concepts. We need the preservation of the very words, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, on which we can translate and from which we can translate all the languages of the world and our Bible in those languages. Well, so much for introduction. We're on page number 13 of our book, Defending the King James Bible. Ask for it simply, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, 1-800-JOHN-10-9 if you wish to call us, and we'll send it to you free and postage paid during this season when we're talking about this Defending the King James Bible. Simply ask for it. $16 value, yours for the asking. All right, verse number 13 out of 15, John 10:35. The Lord Jesus is talking about the Old Testament judges and the translation of the word Elohim, which is sometimes used for judges. He's referring to Psalm 82, verse 6. If he called them gods, speaking of the judges, and his leaders and so on, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, and so on. That's the part of the verse I want to talk about. The scripture cannot be broken. The Lord Jesus said that. The word for broken is the Greek word leo, and luthenai is the word that is used in the aorist tense. Strong defines this word leo as follows: a primary verb to loosen, literally or figuratively, to break up, to destroy, to dissolve, to unloose, to melt, to put off. If the Lord Jesus says the word of God cannot be broken, from this root we get the word analysis, analuo. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is saying the words of God cannot be loosened, broken up, destroyed, dissolved, melted, or put off. It is permanent and preserved by God. The Lord Jesus certainly believed in Bible preservation of the words, not simply the word or thoughts or ideas or message. And by the way, as we said before in our other broadcasts, whenever the scripture uses the word of God, it always refers to the words of God. Always. And it takes the fundamentalist brethren to dream up this ingenious method of redefining word of God. As we said last broadcast, I believe, in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. He means the words of God. Always the word of God are the words of God. That's what it means. But not so with our ingenious fundamentalist brethren who say, oh no, the word of God doesn't mean that. Just the thoughts, the ideas, the concepts. And so we can have scribal errors in the Old Testament Hebrew and Aramaic. We can have scribal errors in the New Testament Greek. And we don't have to believe that the words have been promised to be preserved. And therefore, these brethren of ours do not believe that God has really preserved his words. And therefore, we have all these different modernistic versions of the Bible. Our King James Bible, we say, is the King James Bible, but all these other versions, New International Version, New American Standard Version, English Standard Version, Revised Standard Version, and so on, since they don't believe that the words are important, all of these, they claim, that ones that are translated by the conservative people, whatever they are, they're all the Word of God. And regardless of how many words they differ, they're the Word of God because they have a general message, thoughts, ideas, and concepts of God. This is why they put their hand upon all these perverse versions that are not the King James Bible, and they say these are the Word of God because they contain the message, the thoughts, the general idea, and a few things different, so what? The overall message, thoughts, concepts are there, and therefore these modern Bible perversions they consider to be the Word of God. Well, I don't consider them to be the Word of God. When the New King James Version, for example, varies, adds, subtracts, and changes the words of God in over 2,000 places, according to my report in writing. You can get it if you wish, BFT number 1442. That's not the Word of God in English. Those are not the words of God in English. Oh, you say some of them are, but in the 2,000 places that I found, they're not the words of God in English. The same is true in the New American Standard Version, as I said before, as I went through from Genesis to Revelation. And I saw and found in the New American Standard Version over 4,000 examples of adding, subtracting, and changing the words of God. And this certainly, they're not the words of God in English, the New American Standard Version. But these brethren can call them the Word of God, even though there are 4,000 differences in the actual words of God and proper translation from the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. And the same is true in the New International Version. I went from Genesis to Revelation, and the New International Version, I found 6,653 places where they've added, subtracted, and changed the words of God. And they may call that the Word of God in English. Some of our fundamentalists, rather, not too many of them do that for the NIV. They realize 6,653, and I stopped counting. thousands more. I quit. Thousands more on the NIV. Most of our NIV, or the Fundamentalist Brethren, don't hold up the NIV, but they do the New American Standard Version. They do the New King James Version. They do the English Standard Version, which was taken from the Revised Standard Version and dressed up a bit. They said all those versions, modern versions, are the Word of God. And we do not believe. The Scripture cannot be broken. Well, the 14th verse on Bible preservation, we're still in chapter 1 of our book, Defending the King James Bible, page 13. The 14th verse we take up, Colossians 1:17, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is before all things. And by Him, all things consist. End of quote. Why do you say that's speaking of Bible preservation? Well, the word consist didn't mean much to me until some time ago. When I was asked to have a summer Bible conference on the book of Colossians, I studied my Greek New Testament, as usual, in preparation for the study. I looked all the words up. I found that one of the meanings of the word consist, by Him, by the Lord Jesus Christ, all things consist. One of the meanings of that word consist is, quote, to hold together or preserve, unquote. When you think of the phrase, by Him all things consist, you usually think of the worlds, that they don't fly apart. They're held together. But it also means to preserve. What are some of the things that are preserved? Not only the things of the heavens and the earth, which one day are going to pass away, by the way, but also His words, preserved. He has promised to preserve them. He has preserved them. And by the Lord Jesus Christ, all things are preserved. You may ask how He preserved them, but that's not our problem. That's His problem. How He preserved them. He's able to preserve them because He's omnipotent. He's an all-powerful God. The omnipresent God, everywhere present. The omniscient God, all-wise. He has all power. He said, the Lord Jesus said, all power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18. And so He holds things together and preserves them. And one of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ preserves are His words, His Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. And the King James Bible accurately translates these preserved words into English. And that's why we say in our broadcast, the King James Bible is God's words kept intact in English. Now, we do not believe, like Peter Ruckman and the Ruckmanites, that the King James Bible is a special new brand new revelation, like the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words were. No, we say that's heresy, to say it's a special revelation by God the Holy Spirit. It's a translation by men, human beings, fallible, sinful human beings. But we believe they did an accurate job translating from the proper preserved Hebrew words, Aramaic words, and Greek words. And so we can hold it up and say, the words of God in English. Well, the 15th and final verse we want to mention is 1 Peter 1:23-25, where Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's a reference to Bible preservation. The word of God is incorruptible. Incorruptible. Strong defines this word as follows. Aphartos, that's the word. Greek word, from as a negative particle, a, and a derivative, 5351, undecaying, in essence of continuance, and not corruptible or immortal. That's what Peter says. And by the way, the next verse says, and this is the word by which we're saved, God's word cannot be corrupted, corroded, or decayed. His words cannot be corrupted, corroded, or decayed, like our bodies. God's Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words have been promised to be preserved. When we die, we're put into the earth, our bodies are corrupted. They see corruption. They are decayed and vanish away into dust. But the words of God incorruptible. This is God's promise of the preservation of His words. God wrote His Bible, the Old Testament, in Hebrew, a little Aramaic. He wrote the New Testament in Greek. And He has promised that He will preserve those words. We believe He has preserved them. In fact, I believe He's preserved them in the words, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words underlying our King James Bible. Those are words that are called the Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text. Those words are called the text receptus, or received text in the New Testament. The words underlying our King James Bible, I believe, are the preserved words of God. And they live and abide forever. That's the promise of God's preservation. The illustration of that is given in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24. In verse 24 and 25 we read this, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." Verse 25, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever." And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, these two verses teach preservation, the opposite of what happens to the flower of the grass. You know full well what happens to pretty flowers when it begins to snow, or when you put them in your church and see all the beautiful flowers on one Sunday, and by the time Wednesday or Thursday comes along, most of the flowers have decayed. They perish. They go away. They're no longer pretty. But the words of God do not go away. They do not perish. They're not as the flower of the grass. They're not as the glory of man. The grass withereth, the flower falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. God promised to preserve His words. We must believe that God keeps His promises in general. If you don't believe He keeps His promises in general, my friend, if you're saved, you don't believe there's going to be a heaven in one day. And if you're saved, if you don't believe His promises, you're not sure that He's even going to take you to that heaven that He's promised to take you to. If you're saved and don't believe God's promises, you can't even be sure you have everlasting life. So we must believe His promises in general. He has never broken a single promise He has made. His track record is perfect. Not our track record. Sometimes we promise something to our wives, our husbands, our children, and we forget maybe some of the promises, and we break them. God doesn't break His promises. His track record is perfect. He's promised to preserve His words, and I believe He keeps His promises, and He's done so. We must also believe that He has kept His promises to preserve His exact Bible words, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, right down to the present, the Hebrew and Greek languages in which they were written. Well, let's move on to another section in this Bible preservation. We're on page 14 now of our book, Defending the King James Bible. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll send you a free and postage paid copy of this $16 value, free and postage paid, as long as we're talking about this book and reading it on our broadcast. The next section, God had kept His promises for Bible preservation. Does God keep His promises? No one would question that He is able to keep His promises. Consider God's ability. He flung the universe and the hundreds of thousands and millions of galaxies into being with millions and millions and billions of stars. Now, can man do that? No, man cannot do that. God did it. That's one of the most powerful arguments for the existence of our God that there is. His creation. The millions upon millions of stars, huge, huge stars, bigger, many of them, than our Earth. He made the tiniest speck on Earth as well. The tiniest little amoeba. The unseen yet powerful atom. And the parts of the atom that break up into separate parts, the nucleus of the atom, and the neutrons, the protons, and so on. He created Adam and Eve, man and woman. And from them came other human beings with such complex and wonderfully constructed bodies. Yes, our God is able to keep every promise He has ever made, including those promises concerning the preservation of His words. Let's look at a few verses, four verses exactly, out of many others, showing that God keeps His promises. Now, if He promised to preserve His words, He's kept His promises in the past, He'd keep them in the future. The first of these four verses is found in 1 Kings 8 and verse 24. King Solomon is speaking. He's built the temple. He's speaking of the Lord. The Lord who has kept with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him. Thou speakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Wonderful promises of God's words. He fulfills His promise. God promised and fulfilled with His hand. He promised the temple. It was built by Solomon, who praised God for His faithfulness in keeping His promises. There's a second verse on the promises of God, keeping the promises of God out of the four. We're on page number 15 now of our book, Defending the King James Bible. Ask us for it. We'll send it to you free and postage paid. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. This is from the second one, Romans 4, verses 20 and 21. Romans 4, verse 20 and 21. Speaking of Abraham now, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. End of quote from Romans 4, 20 and 21. Well, here the capability of God is exalted, as well as the fact that God keeps His promises. Though both Abraham and Sarah had passed the age of being parents, at least we know that of Sarah, God told Abraham that he would have a son by Sarah. He was fully persuaded. Abraham was fully persuaded to believe the promise of God. Well, here's the third verse out of the four, talking about how God keeps His promises. This is from Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Paul says to this pastor in the island of Crete, Pastor Titus, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. End of quote. Here's a promise-keeping God. One who has not lied, one who cannot lie, and one who keeps His promises. Well, here's the fourth and final verse talking about how God keeps His promises. Hebrews 10, verse 23, where Paul says to the Hebrew Christians, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. Yes, God is faithful and keeps His promises. Let's go to another section of this first chapter, Bible Preservation, Section C, the Historic Creeds. The Historic Creeds of the Christian Church taught Bible preservation. There are many historic confessions of faith. These confessions alluded to Bible preservation. We don't hear a lot about Bible preservation today. I have not found many church statements of faith that have even mentioned the subject of Bible preservation. I wish they would. I wish every single one of you, if you're listening to us, and your church constitution has nothing to do with the statement on Bible preservation, perhaps you can ask your pastor about it and see if it can be inserted. It should be there. Many church statements that don't mention that subject. But in the years gone by, they did make mention of the subject of Bible preservation. I'll give you some of the historic confessions of faith that mention Bible preservation in them. And then I'll quote from one. They say about the same thing. The first one, the London Baptist Confession, 1677 and 1689. That mentions Bible preservation. A second one, the Philadelphia Baptist Confession of about 1743. That mentions Bible preservation. The Presbyterian Westminster Confession of Faith, 1646. That mentions Bible preservation. the fourth one, the Savoy Confession, the Savoy Confession of 1652, also mentions Bible preservation. Let me quote from the Westminster Confession of Faith on Bible preservation. It says this. It's similar to the Baptist, London Baptist Confession and Philadelphia Baptist Confession of the Baptist. The London and the Westminster Confession, here's a Westminster Confession of about 1646. Quote, the Old Testament in Hebrew, which was the native language of the people of God of old, and the New Testament in Greek, which at the time of the writing of it was most generally known to the nations, being immediately inspired by God and by his singular care and providence, kept pure in all ages, are therefore authentical, so that in the controversies of religion, the church is finally to appeal unto them. End of quote. Notice, kept pure in all ages. That's Bible preservation. They believed God's words, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, were kept pure in all ages. It's a strong testimony to the preservation of the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek original words of the Bible. Well, the same confession makes an important statement directly concerning the one continuing the need, after this one, concerning the need of proper translation of these preserved original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words into the languages of every nation. Not only does God want to have his words of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek preserved, but he wants the people to translate them properly and accurately so that people can understand them. Many people don't understand Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Most of us do not. But God wants us to know his words. And we're going to be taking this up a little later, next broadcast. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defying King James Bible, or call us directly, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. By the way, as I mentioned before, you can get this book, Defending the King James Bible, now in its 10th printing, second edition, 10th printing, directly, live and direct, free and postage paid. $16 total, including everything, free and postage paid. Simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Or you may write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. That's all the address you need. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. And we'll send it to you free and postage paid. My friends, we're going to continue this very important subject next broadcast. We hope you'll stay tuned for it. We're going to continue on the subject of Bible preservation. That's just the first part of our book, first chapter. And then the second chapter, we're going to get into the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, the textual superiority of our King James Bible, and then we'll get in, of course, to the translators, technique of translation, and the theology. See you next week, same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 1,038. 1,038 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Our website is bibleforToday.org. where you can hear 24/7 verse-by-verse preaching from Romans through Revelation by your speaker. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. ask your bookstore to get it for you, but get it from us, free and postage paid throughout the time that we're talking about this book. Simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and say, I'd like a copy of your book, Defending the King James Bible. In its 10th printing, second edition, free and postage paid, a $16 value is yours for the asking. And then have you received our defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for Today. Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. Not another Bible in the world like it. It's deluxe. Genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Over 57,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends? The defined King James Bible. All right, we're continuing in this, looking at my book, Defending the King James Bible, The Fourfold Superiority, Text, Translators, Technique, Theology, God's Words, Kept Intact in English. We're on page number 16 now, and we've been talking about Bible preservation. We've been talking about the preservation of the Scriptures, of the Hebrew, the Aramaic, and the Greek words of God. Now, sometimes we refer to the King James Bible as being a preserved translation. What we mean by that is this. I believe, as I've said before, there are two kinds of preservation. I believe Psalm 12, 6, and 7 speaks of the preservation of the words, Old Testament Hebrew Aramaic words, and by extension, New Testament Greek words. That's a capital P, preservation. God has promised to preserve His words, Hebrew Aramaic and Greek words. But I believe we can also speak of the small P, preservation. God has preserved His capital P, preservation of Hebrew Aramaic and Greek words in the accurate translation of those words in the English language in our King James Bible. And so I believe the King James Bible can be referred to in a small P sense of preserved, preserving the words of God in the English language, translated accurately. And we praise God for that. Now, not only do we quote about the Westminster Confession of Faith on Bible preservation last broadcast, kept pure in all ages, Hebrew and Greek, kept pure in all ages, but we also want to quote now to how the King James translators, rather the Westminster Confession of people, felt that these words should be accurately translated. That's what they say in this quotation. Listen to what they say. But because these original languages, talking about Hebrew and Greek, are not known to all the people of God who have right unto an interest in the Scriptures and are commanded in the fear of God to read and search them, therefore, they are to be translated into the vulgar language of every nation. Vulgar means the common language, not four-letter words vulgar, but the common language of every nation into which they come, that the Word of God dwelling plentifully in all may they may worship Him in an acceptable manner, and through patience and comfort of the Scriptures may have hope. So not only the Westminster Confession of Faith and the London Baptist Confession and the Philadelphia Baptist Confession and so on want to believe in the preservation of the words of Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek, kept pure in all ages, but they wanted these to be accurately translated into the languages of the world. That's what our King James Bible translators did for the English King James Bible. They accurately translated so that we can live to please the Lord by reading and studying these words. Well, we're on page 17 now of my book, Defending the King James Bible. If you have it, follow along, open up with us. I make some comments in addition to what's written, but you follow along if you wish. Now, this is a strong appeal for the accurate and proper translation into the providentially preserved Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words into the languages of all people. For the English-speaking people, this has been done in a superior manner by the King James Bible. But all these other languages, the different translation committees and groups all over the world, United Bible Societies and Wycliffe Bible Translators, they have not done an accurate job of translating the languages of the world, the Scriptures, into those languages. They have botched the job. They have used, number one, the wrong foundation. The wrong Hebrew text sometimes. The wrong Greek text. The foundation is flawed. Then they use wrong methods of translation. And so as a result, some of these languages have inferior translations. They're not God's words kept intact in Spanish or French or whatever the language. Praise God, we do have one now in Spanish, but Dr. Humberto Gomez and so on. But we need every language of the world to be translated accurately. We have one in Korean. Dr. D. Dunsu Jung's translation in the Korean language. But we need them in all languages. They're working one in Romanian, and we have a few words in that. And so this is important, that we have accurate translations from the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words with the proper technique of translation and the proper theology and the proper translators, such as we've had in our King James Bible. All around page 17 in our book, Defending the King James Bible, just simply going over it and talking about it, there's a part D on this first chapter, Bible Preservation, the relationship of Bible preservation and our English language to the King James Bible. First, the relationship outlined. I believe that God has carried forward Bible preservation in our English language through our King James Bible. This is not to refer Bible preservation to the English translation in the absolute sense, but only in the sense that our King James Bible accurately preserves the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words in the English language and accurately translate those divinely preserved words of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek into the English. In this sense, we have a preserving of God's words in English. There are four reasons why I believe this. Now, we mentioned this before just briefly, but I want to emphasize it. First, because of the superiority of the King James Bible's original language text, that is, the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words on which it's based. That's the first reason why I believe the King James Bible preserves God's words in English. Second, because of the King James Bible's superiority of the translators. Our King James Bible's translators, the men who translated the King James Bible, were superior in every way to any men who lived before or who live today. The men who live today are pygmies, small little tiny dwarfs, Lilliputians, tiny ants, in comparison to the scholars who translated the King James Bible from the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. We'll be more specific on this later, of course, in the study, but don't listen to the puffed-up toads of today who boast of their great learning and abilities and linguistics and so on, and to put down our King James Bible translators. Don't listen to them. As we come up into the chapter that deals with the translators, we'll go into details as to their qualifications. And the men living today should not boast, but they do, should not boast of their great prowess, their great ability, their great techniques, their learning, and all the talented people that they have, and all the wonderful books and different things that they can use as tools for translation. Don't listen to them. Our King James Bible translators, head and shoulders above these men today. I wish they'd be a little more humble in their boasting and pride, but they're not. Well, the third reason why the King James Bible is accurate, because the superiority of the technique of translating our King James Bible. It's different than the other versions, from other versions. They haven't used the same techniques other versions haven't, and so a superior technique of translation. They tried the best that they could to have a verbal equivalence, that is, words from Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek into English. They tried their best occasionally. Of course, you have idioms and other ways, but that was their primary desire. They wanted to have formal equivalent, the forms of the words, verb to verb, French, not French and Spanish, verb to verb, noun to noun, pronouns to pronouns, adverb to adverb, wherever possible, not switching and changing a noun to a pronoun to a noun, and so on. Forms of words should be made wherever possible in the English language. The fourth reason why I think the King James Bible preserves accurately our Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words is because of the superiority of the theology of the King James Bible. It's certainly important that we have good theology. I had a woman call me this morning as our broadcast is being taped here, and she said, what about the NIV? Do you have any materials that would encourage a friend of mine to take the NIV and put it on the shelf and get a King James Bible? I said, certainly. She wanted to get our Defending the King James Bible that we're talking about right this morning. she wanted to get that book, and would that be helpful? I said, yes, it would be helpful, ma'am. The chapter 5 would be the greatest help of any, because it shows in over 158 different specific passages where the NIV and the NESV and the English Standard Version, these other versions, have made false theological assertions. And so she got the, or she ordered the book, this Defending the King James Bible. But this is an important thing. Theology, doctrine. And that's the thing that amazes me. Our fundamentalist friends and brethren in these different schools that write these books, whether it's the Bible Baptist school out there in Tempe, Arizona, International Bible College, whatever it's called, whether it's the Bob Jones University, whether it's the Detroit Baptist Seminary or Calvary Baptist Seminary or Central Baptist Seminary, Maranatha Baptist Bible College, Northland Baptist School, whatever these fundamental schools are, they do two things in regard to theology, which I cannot understand. Number one, they lie about the fact that there's no theological differences in the versions. That's the first lie they put out. Secondly, if they do admit there's a few, they say, oh, there are very, very few theological differences between the New American Standard Version, the English Standard Version, and the King James Bible. False lies. Lies from our fundamentalist brethren. I can't understand why they lie about it. I told them about it. I told them about Dr. Jack Mormon's 356 doctrinal passages whereby the false New Testament critical text of Nestle Island, of United Bible Society, Westcott and Hort, call it what you will, the critical text lies doctrinally in 356 passages. Why can't our fundamentalist brethren get this thing straight? I don't understand it. They first of all say that there's none of them, and then they say there are very few. And then they say, well, they may be taught somewhere else. All these different things. Superiority in theology. Well, here's the relationship now. It was outlined as far as the Bible Preservation of English Language. And here's the relationship illustrated. These four areas of superiority of our King James Bible: text, translators, technique of translation, theology. They're illustrated in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Doesn't say anything about Bible translation or preservation there, but it does give an illustration of building, a building. I think the process of building is a good analogy of the process of Bible translation. Notice the statement about building. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 9 to 11. Verse 9 says this, "For we are laborers together," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "laborers, saved people, there at Corinth, and Paul." We, believers, saved people, are laborers together with God. "Ye are God's husbandry," that is, those saved people in the city of Corinth. "Ye are God's building." We're on page 18 now. I realize he's not talking about versions or perversions or preservation, but I think it's a good illustration. Verse 10 says this, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." This is speaking of Christ, the foundation of the church. End of quote. Let's take a look at Bible translation, comparing it to a building. And there are at least four different parts of this. Notice this. First of all, the foundation used for a building is like the Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek texts of a translation. That's the foundation. First of all, Paul talks about a foundation. Paul says he is a master builder and has laid the foundation. The foundation of a building is important, isn't it? If you don't have a good foundation, no matter what you have as far as builders or structural techniques or materials, it will fall. The same with our Bible. The foundation of our Bible is the Old Testament Hebrew and Aramaic words and the New Testament Greek words from which it's translated. There must be a proper foundation for an English Bible, a Spanish Bible, an Italian Bible, or any Bible, any language you can think of, must be a proper foundation. It must come from the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Old Testament text, and the proper Greek New Testament text. And that's where modern versions fail. Wrong foundation, wrong text, wrong original words, and they're therefore off base. They're failures. They're faulty. We can't trust them. Don't get involved with them. The floods will come and they'll be moved. The earthquakes will come. They'll be broken in two. Don't trust the faulty foundations of the modern versions and perversions. Stick with that King James Bible's foundation. It's important. It's solid. It's correct. It's right. Well, there's a second thing. The builders used for a building are like the translators used for a translation. Listen to what we say here. The second thing you notice about a building and the building trade is in verse 10. Even though I realize it's talking about Christ, hear the words. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Another buildeth thereon. Someone is building on that foundation. The builder is important. Not only is the foundation important, but the builder is important. Is he able to build? Does he know how to build? Does he have the materials with which to build? Suppose you have the best foundation possible, but the builder is not a builder, but a musician. Nothing wrong with musicians. He's not a builder. Perhaps he's a theologian. Nothing wrong with a theologian, but he's not a builder. Or a Bible teacher. Nothing wrong with a Bible teacher, but he's not a builder. Or a hockey player. Nothing wrong with that, but he's not a builder. Or a football player. Nothing wrong with that, but he's not a builder. But I repeat, if he's not a builder, don't let him build on your foundation. Stay away from that person if he's not a builder. And I don't care if the foundation is perfect on the proper soil, using proper cement. If the man doesn't know what he's doing as far as building is concerned, it will not be done right. The same with the Bible. The builders are like the translators. If they don't know what they're doing, if they're not supremely skilled in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and English, or whatever language they're translating into, then they're not going to do a proper job and are not the ones to use. My friends, I've heard from one of the fundamental brethren and president, in fact, of the school down there at Central Baptist Seminary. And he's written a book, and he's said, and what he said, well, it doesn't really make any difference who the translators are. They can be saved, they can be unsaved. My friends, not so. It's important that those that translate the words of God are believers in that word. I've used the illustration many times in our presentations and PowerPoints and so on. And I say, would you trust a person who is a bank robber to work at your bank anymore? Would you trust him? I don't think we'd trust him. Would you trust a person who was a dog or a wolf or a fox to guard your chicken coop? No? Well, then, why would you trust an unbeliever to translate your Bible? He's going to ruin it. He doesn't believe it. Very important indeed. Well, let's take a look at the method used for a building. It's like a technique that is used for translation. The third thing Paul mentions here is in verse 10 is, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. That's the how of it, the method he uses. He may be a good builder. He may have the best track record as a builder. He may have built thousands of churches and amphitheaters and large buildings on the proper foundation. That's all possible. And huge cathedrals. And even skyscrapers. When it comes to building your building on your foundation, how does he do it? How? That's like the translation technique. That's the how. What technique does the translator use? He may use the best translator. He may have a lot of skill, expertise, and the right foundation, the right text, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. But how is he going to do it in this particular instance? When he takes the Old Testament Hebrew and Aramaic, or the New Testament Greek, over into English. This is very important. The how of it. All right, point number D, the materials used for building are like the theology used in a translation. The materials used. So you have the foundation, you have the builders, you have the technique of how they build, their skill. For what materials are used? The fourth thing here is also found in Paul's words in verse 10. And let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. This is not only the how or technique of building, but also includes the materials used in the building. The materials of a building are like the theology of a translation. Is the theology sound? Is it proper? Is anything left out? Is anything that is included that's faulty or improper? This is the analogy of the building. On page 19, that's where we are now in our book, Defending the King James Bible. This is Pastor D.A. Waite speaking. I would like to invite anybody who wishes to have this book that we're talking about, Defending the King James Bible, 350 pages, hardback edition, $16 value, yours free and postage paid, order today. As long as we're talking about this subject, it's going to be offered to anyone who are listeners, free and postage paid, Defending the King James Bible. And we're on page number 19. Now there's a note on page 19 in this third revised edition, 2006. We revised this whole thing. And I said, I've revised. Here's what I put in the note. I'll tell you why I've revised. This is the 10th printing, but the third revised edition. I've revised over 82 pages of this book. I've also revised our subtitle of the book, From God's Word Kept Intact in English. I've changed it to God's Words Kept Intact in English. I've made hundreds of changes in these 82 pages. The principal changes have been made wherever God's Word has been found. I changed all these references where applicable to God's words or the words of God. You say, well, why do you do that? Why do you take another 82 pages and revise this whole thing? Why? Let me explain to you. The reason for this is what I consider to be a clever, sly, secret, deceptive, and surreptitious redefinition by some fundamentalists of the term Word of God. This redefinition has been found in the books, booklets, other writings, and speeches from the faculty, graduates, and or sympathizers of such leading fundamentalist schools as Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Maranatha Baptist Bible College and Seminary, Northland Baptist Bible College, and others who follow this serious error. The one out in Tempe, Arizona, whatever that's called, Baptist College out there. The one that's Tennessee Temple University, the writers out there, they follow this change. And they change from the Word of God, meaning just the message, thoughts, and ideas, rather than the words of God. Now, the Bible uses Word of God, as we said before, as a synonym for the words of God. I list a number of verses on that, from Psalm 119, verse 9, and 11, and 16, and 17, and so on. A number of verses on that. Their modern redefinition of Word of God instead of words of God, the redefinition restricts the terms Word of God and Bible preservation. Here's what they mean. They restrict it exclusively to the message, only the thoughts, the ideas, the concepts, the truth, the doctrine, the revelation of the Bible, rather than to the Bible's original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. This is a fundamentalist travesty on God's words and on the entire doctrine of Bible preservation. And you see our fundamentalist brethren say, oh, we believe in Bible preservation just like you do, Pastor Waite, or Dr. Waite, or whatever they want to call me. We believe in Bible preservation just like you do. No, you do not. you believe in Bible preservation of the Word of God. I believe in Bible preservation of the words of God. You say, well, isn't that the same? Well, the Bible says it's the same, but they don't say it's the same. Their Word of God doesn't mean words of God. So their Bible preservation is not the same as my Bible preservation. They just have a preservation of the thoughts, the ideas, the message, the concepts, but not the words. Just the general picture. My friend, you have to have the words. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I believe our God promised to preserve every word, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek word. I believe He's done so. And that's what we must live by. Not by every message, thoughts, ideas, or concepts, a general picture, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. My friend, write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defying King James Bible, or call us direct. Remember, this is Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Now, friends, I told you that we'd send you free and postage paid. Free and postage paid. $16 value of Defending the King James Bible. Simply write us for it. Call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. While we're talking about these matters, we'll send it to you. We want you to have it. And we want you to take care of it. We're going to continue this the next time. And we're going to continue what we're talking about. And we're going to take up now chapter 2 is the next chapter we're going to talk about. Chapter 2, which begins on page number 20. Page number 20. Chapter 2 is going to be on the King James Bible as God's words kept intact in English because of superior original language texts. Superior original language texts. So I want you to stay tuned and be sure to get this. Write us for it. We'll send it to you. And we want you to be up to date on this important, vital subject of your Bible. All right, time's up for now. See you next week, same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 1,039. 1,039 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society, in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@biblefortoday.org. Our website is biblefortoday.org. You can hear 24/7 verse-by-verse preaching from Romans through Revelation by your speaker. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a call? Ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us direct. We'll send you one free and postage paid during this series that we're talking about, Defending the King James Bible, a $16 value, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask for Defending the King James Bible. And then if you received yet the Defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for Today, uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe. Genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. 57,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Not another Bible in the world like it. Why not get one for yourself and your friends? The Defined King James Bible. All right, we're continuing talking about this book that I've written many years ago, 1992. We're now in the 10th printing, 3rd revision, 3rd updated revised edition, and it's called Defending the King James Bible. I think it's about time that somebody defended it in clear, simple words. It's a fourfold superiority. The King James has superior texts, superior translators, superior technique of translation, superior theology. I believe it's God's words kept intact in English. We have a book here. We're on chapter number 2. We're on page 20 of the book if you have it. And remember, you who are listening to me can get this book free and postage paid. In its 10th printing, 3rd revised edition, just ask for it, Defending the King James Bible. $16 value, yours for the asking. We want you to understand about this. We're on page number 20, chapter number 2. Number 2 chapter is this. The King James Bible is God's words kept intact in English because of its superior original language texts. That's what we're talking about. That's the first reason. The second reason, superior translators. The third reason, superior technique of translation. And the fourth reason, superior theology. This is the first reason. Superior original language text. The first reason why God's words are complete and kept intact in the King James Bible is because of the superior texts on which it was based. The textual foundations of the King James Bible are the best foundations of any English Bible that exists today. First of all, let's divide this into two subjects. You've got the Old Testament Hebrew and Aramaic words, the New Testament Greek words. First, the King James Bible is God's words kept intact in English because of its superior Old Testament Hebrew text. Hebrew and Aramaic, there's a few words in Aramaic, but we call it generally the Hebrew text. The King James Bible is translated from a superior Old Testament text, Old Testament words. It's translated from what we call the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text. Now, these other versions, these other English versions that are translated today, don't necessarily follow that text and that text alone, such as the New American Standard Version, 1960, the New International Version, 1969, or even the New King James Version of 1979. They all, these big and the English Standard Version of recent days as well, they all have big questions, as well as the ones the modernists use, Revised Standard Version, New Revised Standard Version, English Standard Version, and so on. They have big question marks so far as the foundation of their Old Testament text. There are many things that are changed when compared to the text of the King James Bible, and their translators who used the Old Testament Masoretic Hebrew text. Now, the word Masoretic, it's a Hebrew word. It comes from Masor, a Hebrew word meaning traditional. The Masoretes handed down this text from generation to generation, guarded it, kept it well, as we shall see. Before we get into the superior text of our King James Bible, in defense of it, I'd like to take a few inferior Old Testament texts of the newer versions. The inferior Old Testament texts. Let's start with the New American Standard Version and its Old Testament text. That's the version that Bob Jones University used to say was the most accurate of all translations in the English language. That's a false statement. Certainly not true. I found over 4,000 examples of the New American Standard Version adding, subtracting, or changing the words of God from Hebrew or Greek into the English language. It's not accurate. Now, of course, Bob Jones is using the English Standard Version and pushing that one, which was an offshoot and they originally in Revised Standard Version of the modernists and liberals. They've dusted it up and translated it a little bit differently here and there, but basically its base, its foundation, is the false Revised Standard Version of the 1950s. Let's take a look at this New American Standard Version, the Old Testament text. Take a look and see what it is. They admit in their preface, page number 8, Roman numeral 8, the following words. Here's what they say. Hebrew text. In the present translation, this is the New American Standard Version, NASV, that many pastors preach from and swear by, as they say. This is what Bob Jones University pushes. Now, of course, they've got the English Standard Version to push, but formerly they pushed it and pushed it strong. The present translation, the latest edition, here's what they do. The latest edition of, number one, Rudolf Kittel's Bibli Hebraica has been employed together with the most recent, number two, Light from Lexicography. So you got Rudolf Kittel's Bible. Then the second thing, Light from Lexicography. Number three, Cognate Languages. And number four, the Dead Sea Scrolls. So it's not a pure Hebrew text that's followed. There's new light, new changes, new suggestions. You could see from that New American Standard Version statement that they do not use only the Masoretic Hebrew text, the right one, but they make use of other sources as well. The Hebrew text they use is Kittel's Biblia Hebraica, or the Hebrew Bible. That's what that word means. Biblia Hebraica is a Hebrew Bible. That would be the 1937 edition of this Biblia Hebraica from Rudolf Kittel, K-I-T-T-E-L. It's the same one we used when I studied Hebrew under Dr. Merle F. Unger at Dallas Theological Seminary, 1948 to 1953. That's what they were selling. That's what they gave us. That's what they used. And Dr. Unger, as you know, was a very famous Hebraist, as we call him, and graduate of under the school there in Baltimore, Maryland, Johns Hopkins. And he learned a lot of things that really he shouldn't have learned, but a good young, older man, knew his Hebrew, and of course, he didn't stand for the text that we stand for, but he is the one that taught me Hebrew, the Hebrew language. A good teacher of Hebrew. We didn't always agree on some of the things that he taught, but he was a good teacher. This edition, that is Kittel's Biblia Hebraica, has about 15 to 20 suggested changes in the Hebrew text placed in the footnotes on each page. Now, get this straight. Some people have misquoted me in saying the Biblia Hebraica of Kittel or of Stuttgartensia, which is another Hebrew text, the Biblia Hebraica of Stuttgart, they've misquoted me. They say, well, I've said that there are so many changes in the Hebrew text. No, my friend. I said there are so many suggested changes in the Hebrew text placed in the footnotes. Please, get that straight. They suggest by 15 to 20 footnotes per page in the Biblia Hebraica that's used by the NASB and these other versions, they suggest, oh, let's change the Hebrew which is up on top of the page to that which is in the footnote of the page, and change it here, change it there, change it somewhere else, change, 14 to 15 to 20 changes per page. Now, if you multiply this by 1,424 pages, which is found in the Kittel Bible, you multiply the 15 to 20 times 1,424, it comes out to between 20 and 30,000 changes in the Old Testament. They suggested changes. Please remember that. That's a lot of changes, my friend. And I don't go along with that. I don't want to change it at all. The Hebrew words underlying our King James Bible, those Masoretic Hebrew words, should not be changed, should not be altered for any reason. They say that there could be major changes in these footnotes. There could be minor changes, but they're changes. 20 to 30,000 suggested changes in the footnotes of the Biblia Hebraica of Kittel used by the New American Standard Version. Now, does that sound like a preserved Bible to you? Does that sound like the fulfillment of not one jot or one tittle shall in any wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled? You remember the first chapter of our book was on Bible preservation. We took the last four sessions on chapter number one, Bible preservation. This is chapter number two on the King James Bible superior text or words underlying it. First, the Hebrew text, the Hebrew words. That doesn't sound like Bible preservation of one jot or one tittle with 20 to 30,000 suggested changes. I don't like the way these men dealt with the Old Testament text, these New American Standard people. My Savior said that every word, every letter, every part of every letter has been preserved by the power of God. Matthew 5:18. Not one jot or one tittle shall in any wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And it all has not been fulfilled. Therefore, it's been preserved as it is. Now, evangelicals, we're compromisers, as you may know, and even some fundamentalists are using and recommending the New American Standard Version, the New International Version, the English Standard Version, and even the New King James Version, all of which use inferior Old Testament texts. They don't use the same text the King James Bible uses at all. Well, that's the New American Standard Version. Let's move on to another modern version, the New International Version, and it's Old Testament. The New International Version has the same thing to say as the Old Testament Foundation they're using for their translation. Here's what they say on pages Roman numeral 8 through 9 of the New International Version of 1978. Here's what the editors wrote on Roman numeral 8, page 8. For the Old Testament, the standard Hebrew text, the Masoretic text, as published in the latest editions of the first thing, Biblia Hebraica, which is the same as the Kittel Bible I mentioned before, and was used throughout. Then the second thing, the Dead Sea Scrolls contain material bearing on an earlier stage of the Hebrew text. In other words, so they're going to use the Dead Sea Scrolls as well. They're going to change it when the Dead Sea Scrolls say change it in various places. They were consulted. Now the third thing the New International Version says, as were the, number three, the Samaritan Pentateuch. That's another text that is different from the Hebrew in many places. The fourth thing they picked to choose as a basis, some ancient scribal traditions relating to textual changes, that is, a tradition, maybe to some places and in some places, and they're going to use that tradition, perhaps over and above the Masoretic Hebrew text, for textual changes. And then the fifth standard for the New International Version, sometimes variant Hebrew reading in the margin of the Masoretic text was followed instead of the text itself. Now they're going to use material in the marginal readings, the NIV does, instead of the actual Hebrew text and words. Here's the sixth thing. In rare cases, words in the consonantal text that were divided differently from the way they appear in the Masoretic text. So here's the sixth thing the NIV does. Oh, don't stop there. There's a seventh one. Listening, ready? The translators also consulted the more important early versions. The early versions. Now, early versions may be all right, but they are not the words of God. They're translations of the words of God. And then an eighth thing they're going to take up, the Septuagint. The eighth basis on which is the Septuagint. Not the Hebrew, only the Hebrew. Not even the right Hebrew, but the Septuagint. So here's the Old Testament translated into Greek, and they're going to use this as their basis and foundation. And they believe, of course, that the Septuagint was B.C. That is, from Hebrew to Greek, was translated before Christ, which is false. It was translated A.D., in the year of our Lord, in this 200 or early 300s, by Origen. That's the origination of the Septuagint. And these men that say, oh, we've got an old Septuagint. We've got an old Septuagint. It's B.C. All right? Let them produce for you copies of the entire Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, of B.C., Old Testament vintage and date. Produce it or shut up. That's my position. Produce it. Keep quiet about it. Don't argue with it. Just don't talk about it anymore. Oh, they say, well, we have a few books that we can find, B.C., that were produced, Hebrew into Greek. All right, a few books. That's not the Septuagint. The Septuagint is found in its entirety in the fifth column of Origen's Hexapla, a six-column Bible, and the fifth column is the Septuagint. That's the origin. And Origen was not B.C. Origen was late 200 A.D. Late 200s A.D., early 300s A.D., not B.C. So that's the seventh or eighth thing about the Septuagint. Well, so here's the Old Testament translated into Greek. There's a ninth thing. What's the ninth basis? Well, Symmachus. That's another thing they want to use. Symmachus. Well, what was he? He was a man who translated also from Hebrew into Greek, a different Greek translation. And they're going to use him when necessary and not the Hebrew necessarily. Well, that's the ninth thing. What about the tenth thing? There's a tenth thing. Theodotion. Who is he? That's another translation from Hebrew into Greek. And that's also in Origen's Hexapla. Symmachus is there. Theodotion is there. And whenever they want to, they just pick up some of the words of Theodotion and change the Hebrew text of their Old Testament in the New International Version. shame on them. Well, don't stop there with 10 different things that they use in the Old Testament. There's an 11th one, and that's the Vulgate, the Latin Vulgate. And when the Latin Vulgate says something other than the Hebrew, well, let's go ahead and change it. Really, this is the NIV's basis of the Old Testament. Well, don't stop there. There's a 12th thing that the NIV puts as the basis, and that's the Syriac Peshitta. The Syriac Peshitta. My friend, the Syriac Peshitta is in a different language, not in Hebrew, it's in the Syriac language, and they're using that as a basis. If that changes the Hebrew in certain places, let's go with the Syriac Peshitta. Scrap the Hebrew. No, my friend, don't scrap any Hebrew. Use it, and use it alone. So that's the 12th thing. Well, don't stop there. There's a 13th thing, the Targums. The Targums, for the Psalms especially. Well, Targums are interpretations. They're commentaries. And instead of using the Hebrew text that has been gone down to us, they're going to use some interpretation, some translation or commentary instead of the Hebrew itself. Well, don't stop there. There's a 14th one that the NIV wants to use for the Old Testament. And right in their preface, they say so themselves, the Juxta Hebraica of Jerome. The Juxta Hebraica of Jerome, as if Jerome, living in A.D., knows what the proper reading was, B.C., in the Old Testament. And yet the NIV is bold to say, well, if the Juxta Hebraica of Jerome says we ought to change the Hebrew, let's change it. Horrible indeed. Well, that's not all. There's a final, a 15th thing, and that's this. Readings from those versions were occasionally followed. Some words were read with a different set of vowels. A different set of vowels. The 15th thing, if that different set of vowels is used, it transformed the Hebrew word into a different word completely. Every Hebrew word has a consonant, and underneath the words there are vowels, vowel pointings. And just like we have vowels in English, you can have M and T. M and T are consonants, an M and a T. Well, depending on what vowel you put in there, you change the word completely. M-E-T is the past tense of to meet, met. M-E-E-T is the present tense, meet. M-E-A-T is a substance that we eat, meat that we eat. And all by the change of the vowels, a completely different word is found. And that's what these tricksters, in the NIV translators have done. Anytime they wish to change a little bit of consonantal changes, make a different word out of it, presto, changeo, they do it. Sad indeed. And so 15 different things. These are things that are used by the New International Version as the Old Testament basis and foundation. Do you see why we're upset about the foundation of the NIV? Of course, that's not the only thing they changed. They changed the translation technique, and they have additions, subtractions, and changes. 6,653 additions, subtractions, and changes from the Hebrew or Greek, and I stopped counting. The changes are numerous, and yet people swear by the NIV, use the NIV, and say, oh, what a wonderful translation, not knowing whereof they speak. Usually so. Sometimes they know whereof they speak, and they still use it. They have all the facts that we've been talking about here. They don't care. If somebody recommended it, if their professor in college or seminary or their pastor recommended the NIV, that's what they take. They don't care about truth. Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is made up. Well, we're on page number 22 of our book. Get this book if you care, if you want it. If you're interested in it, I don't know, maybe you're not interested in it. Fine. You don't have to get it. We're offering it to you for this time when we're talking about free and postage paid. Defending the King James Bible. Simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll send it to you free and postage. A $16 value, 350 pages, hardback edition. You can never buy one of those things for $16. Hardback, 350 pages. Try it sometime. But we're offering it to you this time free and postage paid. Defending the King James Bible. It's not enough to use the King James Bible. You should know why you use it. And you should be in the position of defending it. So the NIV editors have very honestly, very boldly, altered the foundation of our Old Testament text in the above 15 different ways. 15. 15 different ways. They thumb their nose, as we say, at the Hebrew words and go on to something else. Whenever it suited their fancy, whenever they wanted to do that. You don't know at what point they've used one document to contradict the Masoretic Hebrew text, and at what point they used another document. It's like not being sure whether they've used cement or sand for a foundation. You can't tell. Of course, as soon as the house begins to fall down, you know it's not cement, it's sand. They may have used a little cement, but all of a sudden, there is much sand as well. You don't know whether it will hold up anything, a building, or whether it will fall flat. The foundation is different. It's been altered. And our Old Testament foundation is very important, just like the foundation of a house, a building, or anything else. Well, we've taken up the New American Standard Version, the Old Testament. We've taken up the New International Version, the Old Testament. And let's take a look at the New King James Version and see what they say as their Old Testament basis. Or you might say, well, the New King James Version translators are more fundamental people. They wouldn't dare change the Old Testament text, would they? Well, let's take a look at what they say about their Old Testament text. I'm quoting again from the preface of the New King James Version, page Roman numeral 6. It says this: the text used was, number one, the 1967-77 Stuttgart edition of Biblia Hebraica. 1967 to 1977 Stuttgart edition of Biblia Hebraica. That's the first thing that they use. That's not the same thing that the King James Bible translators use. This is not Kittle's Biblia Hebraica, but a new edition. Kittle was 1937. This is 1967 and 77, 30 or 40 years later. Biblia Hebraica Stuttgartensia, that's what they call it, which is from Stuttgart, Germany. It's similar to Kittle's edition. And the date, however, is not 1937, but 1967, 30 years later, or 77, 40 years later, before they finished it. That is the Hebrew text they're using in all the schools now, I'm told. I'm on page 23 now, if you're following along. Page 23 of our book, Defending the King James Bible. Yours for the asking, free and postage paid, a $16 value, 350 pages, hardback edition, 10th edition, 10th printing, 3rd revised edition, 10th printing, 67,000 in the Bibles are printed. I don't know how many of these in the Defending the King James Bible, but quite a few thousands have been sold and printed. But here they say this, on page number 23. They use this, as I say, in all the schools, I'm told. It's the one now available on computer, in fact. If you have a computer Old Testament, it's the Biblia Hebraica Stuttgartensia, the Stuttgart edition of the Hebrew text. In fact, the Bible for today carries it from Logos Bible Study software for Microsoft Windows. We carry the Logos program, they carry this. The Biblia Hebraica from Rudolf Kittel is abbreviated BHK. Biblia Hebraica Kittel, BHK, that's the abbreviation. And the one used for the New King James Version is abbreviated BHS. Biblia Hebraica Stuttgartensia, BHS. And so the BHS has a similar arrangement as Kittel's. The Hebrew text, though not the same exactly as that which underlies the King James Bible, certainly, that's printed at the top of the page, this Hebrew text. The same things hold true for the Hebrew text as for Kittel's. That is, there are still about 15 to 20 suggested changes in the Hebrew text placed in the footnotes on each page. This amounts again to about 20,000 to 30,000 suggested changes throughout the Old Testament. Now, in addition to this woefully and tragically inadequate Hebrew text, the New King James Bible preface says they have a second basis. A second basis. The first one, Biblia Hebraica Stuttgartensia. The second one, comparisons being made with the Bamberg edition of 1525, which was the basis of the King James Version, by the way. So they have the Bamberg edition, comparatively speaking, 1525. That's the Ben-Kayim edition. And that's the thing, the second thing that they use. And then the third thing that the New King James Version uses is Septuagint. The Old Testament Hebrew into Greek, which was B.C. and certainly not certainly AD, and was never in BC, but they use it nonetheless. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture." Write us. Bible for today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defying King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you can have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Remember, you can get your Defending the King James Bible free and postage paid for the asking. Simply write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, 08108. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, 08108. Or you can simply pick up the phone and call the number, 800 number, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, JOHN-109. We're glad to send it to you free and postage paid, 350 pages, hardback edition, 10th printing, 3rd revised edition. We had a lot of printings. We're going to continue. This, to me, is a very important subject. It's a vital subject. What is our Bible? Why should we change to any other version when we have the King James Bible? You can get a defined King James Bible that tells the meaning of just uncommon words. We're going to continue this next week. See you next week, same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air. Heard each weekday at the same time, actually each week at the same time, and presented to you by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 1040. 1040 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And question and answer, I should say, at 856-854-4452. Or you can email us, bft@bibleforToday.org. Our website is bibleforToday.org. Or you can hear us 24/7, verse-by-verse preaching Romans through Revelation on a 16-week basis by your speaker. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. Now in its 10th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition, why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or simply pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and order it free and postage paid for this time of this broadcast. Get it now, as we're talking about it on the broadcast these days, $16 value, Defending the King James Bible. Then, have you received your defined King James Bible yet? It's King James Bible is published by the Bible for Today. Uncommon words are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point, large print, 10-point, medium print. 57,000 are distributed and printed to date. 57,000. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends? The defined King James Bible. Remember, get your free copy of Defending the King James Bible, free and postpaid. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. All right, we're continuing, my friends, this book, Defending the King James Bible. We're talking about it. It's a fourfold superiority. The King James Bible is superior in its texts of Hebrew and Greek. Superior translators. Superior translation technique. Superior theology. It's God's words, kept intact in English. All right, we're continuing our talking about this book and reviewing it for you. We're on page 23 of the book, if you have one. And we're talking about, at this point, chapter 2, which is our superior text of the King James Bible. The original text, the Hebrew text and the Greek text. First, we're talking about the Hebrew text. We analyzed last broadcast the New American Standard Version Hebrew Old Testament and the New International Version Hebrew Old Testament. The New International Version had 15 different things instead of just the Hebrew alone to go by in the translation. And now we're talking about the New King James Version basis, the Old Testament basis of their translation. And they have six different things. Not 15, but they have six, which is something less than the NIV, obviously. And the New American Standard Version had a total of, let's see, I guess just three or four things, maybe three things as they go by. But the New King James has a total of five, or six, I should say, things. And last broadcast we talked about the first thing was the Bibliobreca Stuttgartensia, 1967. And it's after the Kittel Bibliobreca Stuttgartensia, Biblical Bibliobreca, I should say. The Kittel Bibliobreca was 1937, and this is the Stuttgart edition, 1977, 30 years later, or 1977, 40 years later. That's the first thing. The second thing, they make comparisons with the Bamberg edition of 1525. Now, that's the version, the Hebrew text, underlying our King James Bible. So they make comparisons with that. Then the third thing they will go by is the Septuagint. Now, the Septuagint, many of these men have taught, and I was taught when I was at Dallas Theological Seminary, I was taught that the Septuagint, the translation from Hebrew into Greek, was made in B.C. That's false. They have no proof of that. They have no full documentation of the entire Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, that was ever B.C. It's A.D. It's on the Hexapla of Origen in about 200, a little bit after that, 200, early 300 A.D. It's in his six-column Bible. It's the fifth column of that Bible. And it's not to be trusted. It's very loose, very improper, very impure, very poor. There are a few manuscripts in existence, and those that are there are mostly poor translations, Hebrew into Greek. That's the third basis of the New King James in the Old Testament. The fourth thing is the Latin Vulgate. In other words, anytime they want the Latin Vulgate to change the Hebrew, they do it in the New King James Version. Shame on them. The fifth thing they go by, maybe ancient versions of the Hebrew Scriptures. Ancient versions. Well, versions are translations. You should not change the language of the Hebrew Old Testament into some translation or because of some translation. The translation is going to be wrong. You should not do that. And translations are not always accurate, not always literal, not always giving you the right word. You should stick only to the Hebrew text. A sixth and final thing they use, the New King James Version uses in the Old Testament, is the Dead Sea Scrolls. Dead Sea Scrolls. Again, scrolls that were used by apostates of the Jewish religion, the Essenes, according to tradition. They decided to bolt the party and change from Jerusalem and go over into the caves, different area of different places in Palestine. And they brought with them a copy of the Hebrew Old Testament. We don't know what kind of a copy. Then they copied and recopied. You don't know how the rules were for recopying and so on. So we can't trust the Dead Sea Scrolls when it talks to the Bible. Stick with the Hebrew text that is used, the standard Hebrew text. Now, in many cases, the Dead Sea Scrolls are identical with the Hebrew text. But when they vary, when there's differences, stick to the Hebrew text, the traditional text, and throw away the so-called Dead Sea Scroll readings. So here are at least six admitted foundations consulted, possibly used for the New King James Version as a Hebrew text foundation. So you have in all three of these Bibles, and by the way, the English Standard Version, which was written recently, translated recently, not too many years back, in the years 2000, 2005, along in those lines, 2004, 2005. We haven't included them in this book here because it was after the time, but they're the same general bases as these that we've listed here, these three that have Old Testament text for not the Hebrew only, but the Hebrew plus, the Hebrew plus. So you have these, the Hebrew text of the Old Testament foundation that's different from that of the King James Bible. So you have a different foundation. And if you have a different foundation, how can the building be the same? The words are different. They can't be the same. They're not the same. They're different. Now, my friend, let's just pause right here and say this. Our fellow fundamentalists, and we've always listed who they are, the leaders, of course, at Bob Jones University, The second is the Troy Baptist Seminary. The third basic leader in the fundamentalist world, the Central Baptist Seminary in Minneapolis area. The fourth, Calvary Baptist Seminary in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, followed by Maranatha Baptist Bible College and even Northland Baptist Bible College. And also, we could take in the college out there in Arizona, Tempe, Arizona. And then, of course, we could include, if you wish, the school there in Tennessee Temple University. All these fundamental schools are changing, as we said before, the term, the Word of God. They're making it different than the words of God. I say this because we're talking about Bible translations. We're talking about the Hebrew text. We've seen that the Hebrew text of the King James Bible is different from the Hebrew Old Testament basis of the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, I should say, the New International, and the New King James Version. Different bases, different foundations. Well, how come the other versions, NASV, NIV, New King James, how could those be the Word of God if there are differences in the Hebrew foundation? I maintain they can't be the words of God in English because they've got different bases, different foundations, different translation techniques, and different theology. But how can our fundamentalist brethren consider some of these versions? And they eliminate usually the NIV, but the New American Standard Version is in the play. The New King James Version is in the play. English Standard Version is in the play. How can our fundamentalist brethren, such as these schools I mentioned, say they believe that these versions are the Word of God in English? Well, they can say they're the Word of God in English because they redefine word. We've said this on other broadcasts. They cleverly and semantically redefine Word of God to mean not the same as the words of God. And this is the error of our fundamentalist brethren. Serious error. It's an error that is almost diabolical in nature. I didn't say they were diabolical. I said the error is diabolical because they're changing the meaning of the Word of God. You say, you mean they don't think the Word of God is the words of God? You mean they make a difference? A bifurcation? A distinction? A dichotomy? Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm telling you. I don't understand it. I can't see that that's honest. I think it's the most dishonest thing that can be possibly made in print and talked about. They say it's just the Word of God that we have in these versions. The New American Standard Version is the Word of God. The New International Version is the Word of God. The New King James Version is the Word of God. And the King James Bible is the Word of God. Wait a minute. If they have all these differences, how can all of them be the Word of God if the words are different? Well, that's simple for these men. Not that they're simple men, but it's a simple solution. They simply redefine Word of God to mean just the message of God, just the thoughts of God, the concepts of God, the ideas of God. Not His words, not His specific words, just the general overall picture. And so they can put their hands of blessing upon these other versions. As I've said before, the New King James Version either adds, subtracts, or changes from the Hebrew or Greek words underneath it over 2,000 times. It's in my book written, VFT number 1442. 2,000 times they've either added to the words of God, subtracted from the words of God, or changed the words of God. 2,000 times. Now the New American Standard Version, I went from Genesis to Revelation and analyzed that. I found over 4,000 examples. This is also available, VFT number 1494. You can see it, you can buy it, you can see the comparison. Over 4,000 examples of either adding to the words of God, Hebrew or Greek words, subtracting from the words of God, or changing the words of God in some other way. 4,000 plus. I did the same with the New International Version. I've said this many times. I'm sorry to repeat it. Some of you new listeners may not have known it. I went through Genesis to Revelation on the New International Version, and I found over 6,653 additions, subtractions, or changes from the Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek words. I stopped at 6,653. Thousands upon thousands more. I spent 2 years and 8 months doing that. In the mornings of our lives, I read the scriptures. I didn't want to spend my whole life on it, But what I'm saying is this. How can the people who are fundamentalist leaders in these schools that I've listed, Bob Jones University being the leader, how can they put their hand of approval and say all these versions are the Word of God? Well, they include the King James Bible, New King James, New American Standard, and English Standard Version now, and NIV. Some of them include the New International Version. Others say, no, that's so far away. They're all the Word of God. And they believe in Bible preservation of the Word of God, but not the words of God. How can they do it? Because they redefine Word to mean only message, thoughts, ideas, concepts, but not words. And so that's how they can say, oh, these versions here, oh, they're the Word of God. Oh, wonderful, Word of God. But they're not the words of God because of the differences with the Hebrew Aramaic words that underlie the proper translation, like the King James Bible has. The basis, the foundation of the Hebrew text was accurate in the King James Bible. Now, let's go to another point. We're on page number 23. If you have the book, get it. Just simply write us, or Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, 08108. Or just simply pick up the phone, give us a call, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask for this free copy, $16 value, defending the King James Bible. On page 23. The next topic of the Old Testament text was accumulated by the Jews. Accumulated by the Jews. Let's take a look at the Old Testament of the King James Bible. Why it's superior as to its text. First of all, it was accumulated by the Jews. Secondly, it was authorized by Jesus. Accumulated by the Jews, authorized by Jesus. How do I know that it was accumulated by the Jews? Well, because the Bible tells us. If you look at Romans chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Jews were named by God to be the guardians of the Old Testament, the custodians. A scripture text we ought to use to prove that the Jews were the God-appointed custodians of the Old Testament. Romans 3, 1 and 2. That's the portion of scripture. No Gentile was to put his unclean hands upon God's Old Testament. Even the New Testament, with the possible exception of one book, and even I believe that book was written by a Jew. Written by Jews. God's ancient earthly people, Israel, who one day will be restored to faith in their Messiah. When they see their Messiah, they'll look upon him whom they have pierced. Zechariah 12 and verse 10. Well, what does this Romans 3, 1 and 2 say? Why do I say the Jews guarded it and God committed it to them? Romans 3, 1 and 2. What advantage then hath the Jews? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Verse 2, Romans 3, verse 2. Much, every way, chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. End of quote. The oracles of God, the words of God. Now, Strong gives the information about the word oracles. Logion is what the word is. It's a neuter of a word. An utterance of God, that's what the oracle is. So the oracles of God are the very utterances of the words of God, and they were to be guarded by the Jews. Unto them were committed the oracles of God. And that's the scripture. That's the fact. That's what God says. That's not what man says. This is why we place so much confidence in the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text that those Jews guarded and kept for us. That's why the King James Bible translators used this text as the basis for their Bible, rather than the Latin Vulgate, which is not Hebrew at all, or the Septuagint, which is not in Hebrew, it's in Greek, or Symmachus, which is Greek, or Theodotion, which is Greek, all of these Greek things, or the ancient tribal tradition, or scribal tradition, or any other source, which is not the Masoretic Hebrew text. None of these other things should ever have a say in how the text should read, or should say any of them, or should any of them, I should say, be used to contradict the traditional Masoretic Hebrew text that underlies our King James Bible. It was accumulated by the Jews. And here's the method. Here's the methods of the Old Testament guardians. It was approved by the Lord Jesus. It was accumulated by the Jews. Here's some of the methods of the Old Testament guardians, what they used, how they went about it. Let's take a look at the Jews and how they fulfilled the biblical promise by their strict rules in accompanying and copying, I should say, the Hebrew Old Testament. This is from General Biblical Introduction by H.S. Miller. He's the author of this. Written in 1960, pages 184 to 185. He lists eight rules the Jews used in copying of the synagogue rolls of the Old Testament scriptures. These rules are mentioned in the Talmud, which is gives the background and history of the Jews and their faith. I want to read to you eight of the rules. Now, there are more than eight, probably 10, 12, or something like that, that King James set forth to be the rules that they would follow. But let me just read the eight for you. We're on page number 24 of our book, Defending the King James Bible. Want to get a copy? You can follow along with us in these broadcasts coming up in the next few weeks and months. Simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll send you free and postage paid, $16 value, Defending the King James Bible. But I'm going to read to you, first of all, rule number one. The parchment must be made from the skin of clean animals. No dirty animals, no unclean. Clean animals must be prepared by a Jew only. The skins must be fastened together by strings taken from clean animals. So cleanliness of the animals on the skins, very important. That's number one out of eight. Number two out of eight. Each column must have no less than 48 nor more than 60 lines. The entire copy must be first lined. So no less than 48 lines every page. No more than 60 lines. Rule number three out of eight. The ink must be of no other color than black. And it must be prepared according to a special recipe. That's the third out of eight rules, special recipe of the ink. They don't want it to be erased, to fade out. Special recipe. A fourth out of eight rules is listed. No word nor letter could be written from memory. The scribe must have an authentic copy before him, and he must read and pronounce aloud each word before writing it. For instance, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. You would have a person to pronounce the word in the beginning, in the Hebrew, Bereshith, Elohim, God that created, Bara, and the heavens, Eth HaShemayim, and the earth, Eth HaAretz. He had to pronounce every word before he would write it down, with an authentic copy before him. And that's why some of us doubt the Dead Sea Scrolls, because we don't know whether they had an authentic copy before them. When the Essenes fled to the caves there and had these different Dead Sea Scrolls and the copies, we don't know what was the authentic copy. He had to pronounce aloud this word, not just see it in his mind or in his eyes. This was to avoid any errors, implications, duplications, or omissions. So that's the fourth rule out of eight. Well, here's the fifth out of eight. We're on page number 25 now of our book, Defending the King James Bible. The fifth rule, the scribe must reverently wipe his pen each time before writing the word for God, which is Elohim. He must wash his whole body before writing the name Jehovah, which is translated all capitals, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord. Translated Lord in our King James Bible. So when it comes to that, in our King James Bible, lest the holy name be contaminated. That's why he had to wipe his pen and wash his whole body before the word even God or Elohim. Here's rule number six out of eight. Rule number six, strict rules were given concerning forms of the letters, spaces between letters, words and sections, the use of the pen, and the color of or with the parchment and so on. So we have the sixth rule. Here's the seventh one out of eight. The revision of a roll must be made within 30 days after the work was finished. Otherwise, it was worthless. One mistake on a sheet condemned the sheet. If three mistakes were made on any page, the entire manuscript was condemned. My, what a rule. You had to be alive and well on planet Earth as you're translating the words of God, and that strict rules, turning the forms of letters and so on. And then the seventh rule out of eight. These scribes that were copying the words of God in the Old Testament and the Hebrew text, the revision of a roll, of course they made rolls or scrolls rather than books like we make them today, the revision of a roll must be made within 30 days after the work was finished. Otherwise it was worthless. One mistake on a sheet condemned the sheet. If three mistakes were to be found on any page, the entire manuscript was scrapped. It's a wonderful testimony, is it not? And this is what they did. The entire thing was scrapped. If a man goes from Genesis to Revelation, or not quite Revelation, but to Malachi, I suppose he's coursing his way through from the Old Testament and the Genesis through Malachi, and found three mistakes. What if he did that? Well, he would have to start from Genesis again and go all the way to Malachi once again. The entire manuscript would perish. The entire manuscript condemned. And you see the meticulousness with which the Jews were ordered to guard the words of God. Meticulous guarding. Now, those men believed that the words they were capping were God's holy words. Because of this, they guarded these words. I hope the men today would guard the words of God. They don't seem to care about the words of God, to guard them. They don't like it. They fight about it, and they fight us. We're trying to guide these words. Unlike men today, who add, subtract, or change at will, such as they've done in the New American Standard Version, and the International Version, and the New King James Version, the English Standard Version, the Revised Standard, these other versions. To that extent, they are perversions of truth in Scripture. Well, here's the eighth out of eight rules that we have before us. Every word and every letter was to be counted. Think of counting all the letters in every page of the Hebrew Old Testament. Talk about exactness. That was the method that God used to preserve the Old Testament. And then they say if a letter were omitted, or an extra letter added, or if one letter touched another, the manuscript was condemned and destroyed at once. And from Miller, page 184 and 185. Well, these are the historical rules that the Jews used, and Miller then also added these words, which we should bear in mind. Some of these rules may appear extreme and absurd, yet they show how sacred the holy word of the Old Testament was to its custodians, the Jews, Romans 3, verse 2. And they give us strong encouragement to believe that we have the real Old Testament, the same one which our Lord had and which was originally given by inspiration of God. Well, my friend, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible, or call us 1-800-JOHN-10-9. My friend, we're going to continue this next broadcast. We want you to get this Defiant King James Bible free in postage pay, rather than Defending the King James Bible, I should say. Defending the King James Bible. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Request it. It's 350 pages, $16 value. It's yours for the asking. So as you can follow along and learn to defend the King James Bible. Why do we defend it? Because we believe it's superior. Superior in the texts of Hebrew and Greek. Superior in the translators. Superior in the technique of translating. Superior in theology. We want you to be able to defend it as we seek to defend it on these broadcasts and in our ministry of the Bible for Today and of the Bible for Today Baptist Church as well. And we think that you should be in on this thing, you should learn, and you should get the documentation. And this is one way we've made possible for you to get this. We're going to continue this next week. We hope you'll stay tuned to us and continue to try to learn how to use and defend the King James Bible. See you next broadcast. Same time, same station. Until then, so long.